Mark 1, verses 21 and 22. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Jesus taught, Jesus ministered to the people in Capernaum. They were caught up by and carried away with the message of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that they were astonished in verse 22. Further on in the chapter, in verse 27, it says that they were amazed. Amazed and astonished by the things that they heard and the things they saw. Our text today focuses in on one day in the life of Jesus Christ. We're allowed to observe him as he ministers on one particular Sabbath day. I think we would do well to look into the events of that one Sabbath day. And as we do, we will see why the people of Capernaum were astonished and amazed by the word and works of the Lord Jesus. Astonished and amazed. I want to take these verses and preach for a while about the preaching of the amazing servant Jesus Christ. I want to show you the traits of his preaching that made it so amazing to those that heard Jesus Christ preach. Astonished and amazed. The context of his preaching. Jesus and his men went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. The synagogue was much like the local church in those days. Every community of Jews containing 10 families were required by rabbinical law to have a synagogue. The synagogue system was established during the years of Israel's Babylonian captivity around 586 BC. They could not go to the temple to worship, so they came together in the synagogues to read the law, teach the law, and worship God. The synagogue quickly became the center of every Jewish community. The people met there for worship on Sabbath days, which was Saturday. They would meet again on Monday and then again on Thursday. The building was also used as a schoolhouse and courtroom during the week. A typical service involved prayer, the reading of the law, and a sermon by a rabbi or a scribe. These men were entrusted with protecting the Word of God. They were entrusted to give their lives to learning the law and sharing it with the people of God. However, the sermons delivered by these scribes were notoriously long, dusty, and dry. The scribe or the rabbi would stand and read some portion of scripture, and then he would sit down and begin to quote other rabbis. He would quote one after another. Rabbi Jacob said this. Rabbi Abraham said this. Rabbi Moses said this. He would quote one after another, giving their opinions, but never telling the people what the law really said or what it really meant. Usually they would talk about the restrictions of the Sabbath day. They took a day that was intended by God as blessing and transformed it by their legalism into a heavy burden that the people cannot bear. When the people left the synagogue, they were in the same darkness in which they had arrived. There was no spiritual light or truth in the service. The people left the synagogue, they left the same way they came in, just as in many churches today. They're never amazed, they're never astonished, because the man that's up there in the pulpit does not preach the word of God. He relies on some other thing to transform and conform the people into the image of Jesus Christ. It was into this atmosphere that Jesus Christ came preaching the word of God. The people arrived that Sabbath morning expecting to hear Dr. Dry and Dusty deliver another one of those never-ending string of rabbinical quotations. What they got was something quite different. They were astonished and amazed. What they heard that day left them astonished. This word means to be stricken as by a blow, to be struck with astonishment, to be dumbfounded. They were stricken as by a blow. They were cut to the heart. They were exposed what was truly in their heart, and they heard the promises of God, and they heard who God was. When these people heard Jesus Christ preach, it literally left them with their mouths hanging over in amazement. What in the world is this? When the Sabbath day came, Christ made his way to the place of assembly. We no longer worship on the Sabbath day. We worship on the Lord's day. We gather to celebrate and worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Thought it was important to go to the synagogue to worship. In fact, the Bible makes it clear that was his custom to go, as we see in Luke. From what we know about synagogue services, they were dead, dull, and boring. Yet, Jesus went. Even though it was dead, dull, and boring, Jesus went. The only church he had to attend was a dead church, but yet Christ went to church. He expects no less from us. In fact, we're commanded to be faithful to the assembly of the saints. Do not forsake the assembling together of yourselves. I usually don't preach on church attendance. I think if you love Jesus Christ like you should, you'll be in the house of God at every opportunity. I also don't think it's wise to focus on the ones who are there just because some others are missing. The ones who need the message aren't there to hear it, so why beat up the sheep that have come that day anyway? But if the issue presents itself in a text as it has today, then I do not mind dealing with it. Christ was at the synagogue. He was teaching. You are to be in church. You are to be in church to hear the worship, to hear the word of God, and that will result in your worship of God, your praise of God. Christ expects us to be in the church. We ought to go to church because we love the Lord. When we love Him, there'll be a desire to go, gather with the saints, to worship and to praise Him. We ought to go to church because it is a testimony. When your friends, your family, your neighbors see you head out to go to the house of God, it reminds them of where they need to be. We ought to go to church even when it is dull and boring. You never know when Jesus will show up, break through the monotony and do something eternal. If you aren't there, you'll miss something. You ought to go to church because it is the right thing to do and it honors the Lord. There should be no debate at your house. When it is church time, everyone ought to know what it is about to take place. Mom and dad and all the children need to get ready and get out the door to church. There is no excuses for not assembling together at the house of the Lord. There's no excuses at all. We ought to go to church because an absence from church is basically a vote to close the doors. It says, I don't even care enough to be there. I don't even care enough to be there on time. I don't even care enough to participate. I don't even care to get up out of my bed. Hey, after all, I can just watch a service on TV. Secondly, the character of the preaching of Christ. We're told that Jesus spoke as one who possessed authority. This means that Jesus spoke as a man who knew what he was talking about. The scribes could only quote one another, but Jesus Christ spoke with power and with understanding. A quick glance at how the scribes taught against how Jesus taught reveals why the people were so amazed by what they heard. The scribes majored on trivial things. They elevated the traditions of men above the word of God. Did you hear about what took place in politics? Did you hear about what took place in New York? Did you hear what took place in Washington, D.C.? Did you hear about the one that wore these clothes and didn't wear those clothes? And this woman is wearing those kind of clothes. And this They focused on the trivial things. They elevated the traditions of men above the word of God. They were worried about things like tithing the mint leaves and how far a man could walk on a Sabbath day. They were worried, can you turn a light switch on a Sabbath day? Jesus, on the other hand, spoke of weighty matters, such as life and death and heaven and hell, and life and death and eternity and love and hate and justification and sanctification and the wages of sin. When they heard Jesus Christ preach, they knew they were hearing words of eternal value. Jesus Christ didn't get up and waste dead people's time. He got up and he preached the word of God. It's only the word of God that changed people's lives. It's enough of the programs and the foolishness and the demographics and people getting up and acting like fools and acting like clowns and entertaining people. You could get up, preach the word of God, and the people will be astonished and amazed because the Holy Spirit will bless the going forth of his word. Jesus Christ spoke as one with authority, and the people were astonished. If your preaching doesn't cause people to be astonished and amazed, please, please, by the mercies of God, get out of the pulpit. Get out of the pulpit. Vacate the pulpit and make way for a man to get in the pulpit to preach the word. And notice I said make way for a man to get in the pulpit. The Bible forbids a woman to teach in the pulpit. A woman can teach women in a Bible study, in a prayer meeting, but a woman is not commissioned by God Almighty nor ordained by God Almighty to be in a pulpit. God, Jesus Christ, spoke of weighty matters. The scribes rambled on and on. They were as dry as dust. They spoke of things that no one cared about, in terms that no one understood. Jesus Christ used vivid illustrations and crystal clear word pictures to excite interest in his teaching. When Christ spoke, there was no doubt about what he was talking about. Christ made one statement and the people would say either they loved it or kill him, because they knew exactly what he was talking about. The scribes, they did not care about the people whom they were preaching to. They used the people for their own advantage and for their own profit. How many today, you're sitting in churches, you're just being fleeced by the man that's supposed to be guarding your soul? They used the people for their own advantage and for their own profit. Jesus spoke as a lover of men. He cared about every person he spoke to, and he pointed them to the Father. Jesus Christ spoke as a lover of men. And if you love men, you speak to them the truth. And sometimes the truth is harsh. Like the last 5 or 10 minutes that I just spoke, it was harsh, it hurt. But the question is, was it the truth? I spoke to you as I did because I'm a lover of men. I care about the people that I speak to. And I point them to the Father. But this is eternal life, that you would know the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, that you would know him. That you would know him. That you would be astonished and amazed with the Father. Astonished and amazed with his Son. Astonished and amazed by the Holy Spirit. When you hear the word preach, it will go down deep in your soul, just like the scripture says, that the word of God is living. It's sharp. It has business to do. We're not to be up there entertaining people in pulpits. We're to be up there preaching the word of God. In Hebrews 4, it says this, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and an intents of the heart." If you are in a pulpit, and that word of God is not doing what it says right there, please, get out of the pulpit. Get anointed by God Almighty. Go before the throne of God and repent. Repent of trying to do things your way. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's living. It's powerful. It's sharper. That's why the people were astonished and they were amazed. The word of God being preached, living, powerful, sharper than two-edged sword. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. Notice, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When the word of God is preached, it goes into the heart. It goes in there deep. It tells you, yes, that is true. It tells you, yes, you're right or you're wrong. It brings you to God's judgment. Before God's bar of judgment, telling you, yes, this is true, this is false, this is right, this is wrong. This is true, this is false. Living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Brothers and sisters, why do you think the word of God sometimes hurts so bad? It's compared to a two-edged sword, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's supposed to confront you. It's supposed to change you. It's supposed to astonish you. And it's supposed to amaze you. And if your preacher is not astonishing and amazing you with the word of God, then pray for him. Then pray for him that God will grab a hold of him and change him and cause him to repent and cause him to see his foolishness of trying to run a church or grow a church by techniques and demographics and what's the latest thing that CEOs are doing and managers and coaches and everything else. There's none of that in the scripture. Christ went to the synagogue and he taught them. He taught them the word of God, and they were amazed and astonished.